Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 11, verses 47 through 54. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear missionary families, it's so nice to have you with us and to have completed your orientation. Things will move quite quickly for you now, although you'll think probably too slowly to get into the field. And I'm sure there are many things you have going on to get prepared for everything coming up in your lives. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. There had been several attempts on Jesus' life already, and things were getting more intense for him. There was an intensification from the feast of the rededication of the temple after it had been desecrated by Antiochus Epiphanes in 165 BC. Jesus had been in Jerusalem for that. Now he was getting near again, and he comes to Bethany to stay with Mary and Martha, raise Lazarus. Why is it some people see that same event, raising Lazarus, and they believe in Jesus? And then the text says, but others went and reported to the Pharisees. How is it that some people can hear the gospel clearly and simply not believe or not understand, and some others believe? That is the crux theologorum, it said. There's no answer for us. We believe that it's a mystery, and it's in the Lord's hands, and we leave him to worry about it. But we spread the gospel with abandon on wherever it falls, whether rocky ground or among thorns or someplace else. The Lord has his people among all those places. We know that he wills that all men believe and come to the knowledge of salvation. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council, the Sanhedrin, and said, "What are we going to do? This man performs many signs. If we let him go, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." I think, just reading this, it wasn't so much that they didn't see that Jesus filled the Messiah bill. They really weren't looking for a Messiah at all. they were really comfortable. That is, the establishment, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priestly caste, the chief priests and their cadre, they were making good money in the temple. The exchange rates were good. Sure, the Romans were in charge, but they had a lot of discretion, and things were going well. They didn't need a Messiah messing them up. I suspect that many of the people that you will proclaim the gospel to and meet in Romania and Germany and the Dominican will probably fill that bill. Not all of them, but probably many of them. Things are going pretty well for us right now. We don't need anything to come confuse it. And yet the Lord has you going to preach a word of law and gospel, to share the gospel, and to break lives and break into lives so that Christ may be all in all. But one of them, Caiaphas, this Caiaphas cat, kind of interesting, son of a high priest. He's the longest serving high priest of the New Testament era. And in 1990, they were doing road construction in the old city of Jerusalem. And guess what they found? A sarcophagus with the name Caiaphas on it. So far, the only bones of a New Testament person to have ever been discovered. You're going with a real historic message. It's true. The New Testament is true. It is Jesus, the Son of God, who actually came into the world to save sinners. The story is true. The texts are true. The gospel is true. And not only is it true, it has the power of God behind it, the power of God for salvation for all who believe. And then Caiaphas responds with a double negative. You don't know nothing. That's how it should be translated. You don't know nothing at all. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. It was Caiaphas who wanted the death penalty for Christ. Blasphemy was his charge, but you couldn't get blasphemy by the Romans, who were the ones in charge of whether death penalties take place or not. So the Jews charged him with blasphemy, claiming to be equal with God, claiming to be Messiah. But against the Romans, they charged insurrection, rebellion. Hey, he said some stuff about not paying taxes. They were lying about it. But moreover, he makes himself to be a king in the Davidic line. That will stir the Romans up. We'll get their permission to kill him on that account. And they did. Apparently, it was Caiaphas who don't know nothing at all of who Christ was. In an ironic twist, the temple and its sacrifices still availed before the curtain was torn in two at Christ's death on the cross. And Caiaphas prophesied, speaking against Christ unknowingly. He proclaimed the truth of Christ. And he has continued, this high priest who sought the death of Jesus has continued to proclaim the gospel to millions, perhaps billions, every time this text is read. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather in the children of God who are scattered abroad. That's the missionary task, to gather in the elect who are scattered abroad. We don't need Lutheranism plus something else. We don't need Lutheranism plus Anglicanism. We don't need Lutheranism plus Roman Catholic rites. We don't need Lutheranism plus infant communion. We don't need Lutheranism plus evangelicalism. We don't need Lutheranism plus anything. We need Book of Concord Lutheranism. Sometimes people criticize us for emphasizing the need to plant churches and have pastors. But I tell you, wherever mission work is done, and churches are not planted, and pastors are not trained and ordained, the results do not last. They flit away in less than a generation. That's why wherever we go, we proclaim the gospel. We gather those who believe into the assembly, the ecclesia, the church. And the church receives Christ's gifts from a pastor who preaches his word and delivers his sacraments and absolves his people. And his people speak the word in their lives to those around them. As you will, as your wonderful children will. It's been great to have the kids running around here this last week. I found myself greatly entertained, but also encouraged, because there'll be little missionaries out there. They'll meet their friends. You'll meet their parents. You'll tell them of Christ, and some will believe. Thanks be to God. So from that day, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus faced the most serious opposition, and you will too. The greatest challenge for you will be your own sinful flesh, sin, death, and the devil. There will be a million things along the way that will discourage you. You'll have challenges. You'll have Satan tugging at you, nipping at your heels. You'll have failings along the way. This building, our bureaucracy, will fail you along the way. It's hard to be a deployed employee. Policies make no sense from abroad. Those things are all difficulties that we all face in this business. Your challenge will be to put the best construction on things, talk through it with the right people, and be patient. We'll do our best, I promise, from this side to serve you in the way that you need to be served and deserve to be served. And trials will come upon you. Your children will have trials. Perhaps health difficulties. You'll have bouts with depression, perhaps, or all kinds of other situations that arise. You don't stop being flesh and blood when you take up the mantle of missionary. Not at all. In fact, the attack of the devil will only increase. But know this, the Lord has that pit bull on a chain, a very strong chain and a short one. And he can nip at your heels, but he cannot extinguish your faith and kill you. Christ is yours. And as a matter of fact, just like Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So every trial and difficulty you face, God means for good for you in your vocations as father and mother, child, grandchild, missionary. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So all the attacks of the devil, so every frustration, so even the attacks of our own sinful flesh. And as John Folly told me one time in a very difficult moment that I had years ago, the best verse from the entire Book of Concord, the greatest thing Martin Chemnitz ever wrote, Article 11, Solid Declaration, Eternal Election, verse 48, God determines in advance those specific afflictions by which he conforms us to the image of his Son. Therefore, as the Apostle says, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And just as our Savior was the greatest missionary in the history of the universe, his missionary activity went through a cross. Come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says that with such compassionate conviction and such inviting truth because he himself was weary and heavy laden. And that's how he saved the world. You're not called to say the word, but you will be weary and heavy laden like him. And it's precisely in that that you'll be humbled, and you will become exactly the funnel, exactly the mouth for Christ that he is determined you should be. And he will work it for good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.